Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. I'm your host, Keith Willard. Welcome to another episode. Today, we're going to be talking about repurposing, going green. It is all the rage right now, going green. But, you know, how do you find those really amazing pieces that you want for your wedding? And then afterwards, what do you do to get rid of them? I mean, usually you can give it away, but, you know, if you bought them, it would be nice if you could sell them. So luckily, we have an amazing guest on today's show. His name is Jason Thrift. He's the star of TV's Thrift Hunters and a guest expert on Pawn Stars. We'll bring him on in just a second. But in the meantime, let me bring on Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hi, Marcy.
Hello.
And then, of course, we got Nicole Sellers with CLE Events. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, everybody.
And then, of course, the gorgeous Brooke Logan Stoner.
Salutations, man.
I was like, where's the salutations? Anyway, so our guest today is Jason Thrifts, who has sourced and sold it all. He lives in fabulous Las Vegas and thrifts and sells his finds both domestically and internationally. He is survived a rapidly changing e-commerce world by adapting to continuously adjusting his business that he started on eBay and Amazon. He has a ridiculous amount of followers on Facebook. I'll ask him a little bit more about that when we come on. But let's welcome Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hey, what's happening, everybody?
Oh, my goodness.
Hi.
I mean, I feel like we actually have a star on the show for once. What? I mean, oh, my God. I mean, the fact that you had your own show on Spike TV is got to be amazing and both scary at the same time.
Yeah, it was crazy because they reached out to me and said, hey, you want to be on TV about yourself? And of course, when you get that phone call, because that phone call never comes, you're like, okay, which one of my friends is pulling my leg? And then obviously
I'm
it was
still
real.
Waiting.
We did two seasons and then Spike got sold out. The Paramount Network bought Spike. They got rid of every small show. They cleaned out every show but three.
Wow.
And we didn't make the cut. So we had two seasons. Had a lot of fun touring the country because it was a on the road kind of show, and met a lot of great people and a lot of great friends because of that. So it's a lot of hard work. Look, digging ditches is real hard work, but making TV is horribly boring and not fun.
Yeah,
there's nothing glamorous about it because we had a lot of friends with us.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And every day, every time a friend comes with us, they're like, "This sucks." I go, you were expecting someone to hand feed you food, weren't you? Like, it isn't like that at all. It's a lot of like, say that funny line again for the seventh time and make it funny again. I'm like, and then in your
you
head,
have a really great beard, though. So.
Well, it's interesting because you've already got some fans on. I mean, oh my goodness, Discounters. Oh, what a great name, Discounters. All right for you. And then Ann Wolf. Hi, Ann. It's good to see you as well. So it looks like you've already got some fans on the show. So talking about fans and talking about your world, you know, obviously going green for weddings is everything. But, you know, a lot of people don't even realize how much hard work actually goes into finding those really specific pieces. I mean, we've got Nicole Sellers on whose world is all about finding those beautiful vintage pieces. But as somebody that's in the thrifting world, you know, where do you even start? Obviously you love this, but how did you get started in this world?
Well, my mom and my grandmother took me to a flea market when I was six. So this is 1977. And back then, flea markets were truly just old junk. And I lived in the country, so it was old butter churns and crap like that. But I wasn't interested in what was being sold, but I was always an inquisitive kid. And my poor mother lost me because I walked away and started talking to a vendor. I'm like, what are you selling? Why are you selling it? And I was enthralled. And then a couple of years later, I think I was about 10 or 11. I was a dual income 11-year-old. I had two jobs. And so this is 1981 or two. I'd always had $40 in my pocket, which was huge for an 11-year-old in 82.
Right.
And my mom took me to a community garage sale where they had taken over the front of the high school and everyone brought out their tables and all their stuff. And I realized that day I could buy four times as many used toys as I could new toys. And I was hooked. I'm like, I'd rather have more stuff than new
right.
stuff.
Well, and honestly, that's kind of the whole thing is that, you know, if realizing that you can get a whole lot more stuff with your budget if you do some smart thrifting. I think that's like the crazy part of this is that, you know, that whole single use world, it's also costly. I mean, you can get all these incredible things with a fraction of the budget, but you have to know where to look.
Yeah. And, you know, I just, from that moment on, I was like, oh, I love this secondhand good stuff. And I started selling online in 2000 because I got laid off from a job, and my wife and I owned a house, and we were only married for a couple of years at that point. And I got laid off and no prospects of a new job. And it's March and it's crappy weather in Cleveland, Ohio, where we lived. And I'm sucking my thumb, sitting in the corner of my couch going, how are we going to pay the mortgage? And I was, you know, and what we all do when we're not feeling good, retail therapy. I went out and went shopping.
Right.
And I was standing in a record store, and they had a table full of dollar CDs. And I'm just looking at them. And this is March of 2000. Internet's still kind of young. Selling online's very young.
Right.
And I'm like, these CDs have to be worth more than a dollar. So I cherry picked 20 good ones and went home and sat down and taught myself to sell online. And I've been doing that ever since. And I spent 21 years, and it led to having my own show. And Pawn Stars called me and asked me to be on their show. And so you never know. It's like with anything in life, you know, you have this bad thing happen. You got laid out from a job. And next thing you know, it's 21 years later, and your life is so fulfilled and awesome because of what you did when you got laid off. And so I just learned the fine art of finding things very cheaply and then selling them for a lot of money. And I've been fine tuning that for 21 years.
Well, you're basically singing every bride's dream, finding it cheap and then being able to pay for a wedding by selling it off. I mean, half my clients are probably listening to this show going, yes. Oh, thank goodness. But it also makes a lot of sense, especially during the age of COVID. You know, a lot of people's budgets have dramatically reduced. And I think this is a really smart option to think about, you know, why not go look in three thrift stores and find some gently used items to use in your world. I mean, obviously Nicole has made a living out of this and does it brilliantly by combining things.
I sold something on eBay while we were sitting here.
Oh, you did? You sold something on eBay while we're literally sitting here, but you know, but also figuring out where to find it. So, you know, for our couples that are listening out there, what are some of the basic, like, first places to look when you're thinking about thrifting for your wedding?
So, I mean, obviously the thrift store big chains, everyone knows about. So, Goodwill would be the one that you say that and everyone knows exactly what you're talking about. Savers is my favorite chain. Unfortunately, Savers is not everywhere. It's probably half the country. Here in Vegas, we actually have five of them. They're the biggest, most organized, cleanest thrift stores you'll ever be in your life. So if you see a Savers, you know, go on your phone, bring up your maps. If you see a Savers anywhere near you, that's a good place to start. But there's also all these kind of hidden gems and thrift stores. And I actually brought a couple pictures of two just to demonstrate you got to really look beyond the norm. So you'll look at the Goodwills, you'll look at the Salvation Armies, but then you're like, okay, what is this Philly AIDS thrift? So if you've got that picture, Keith, that would be awesome.
I do.
I know some of you are going to be listening and not seeing that. So I will describe the picture to the best of my ability.
Let's see if it pulls it up. There we go.
All right. So this is Philly AIDS Thrift. It's one of my all-time favorite thrift stores located in Chicago. No, just kidding. It's Philadelphia. but their wedding dress section is insane. Like I've been thrifting my entire life now, and I see wedding dresses pretty much anywhere I go. But the selection they have, you have that next picture.
I mean,
this is the norm every single day. Now, I have not been there since COVID struck, so I don't know, you know. But this is the norm every day. There is always 50 dresses lined up, always, that's without fail.
And a fortune on skirts.
And as you can see, the tags are color-coded. So here's a little tip for everybody out there thrifting. In this store, their color-coded tags go by a weekly turn. So this week, all the tags are yellow. Next week, all the tags are pink. The next week, all the tags are purple. And so every fifth week or so, depending on how many colors they have, those ones are on sale. And so some stores do half off all yellow tags. And so if you're really on a budget and you're not all that picky, and I know that's a weird thing to say for a bride, but if you're on that much of a budget and you see, like, look, tomorrow all the yellow tags are half off, I'm going to be here at opening and see what fits me.
Well, you know, and Nicole, you can speak about this a little bit about this is kind of all the rage right now is finding these gently used dresses or even not so gently used dresses. I mean, that's kind of a thing. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I mean, when I look at this, I see more than just dresses though. I see material. I see fantastic material, satins and laces and adorned material that can be turned into so many different things. It could be turned into a boho canopy for your wedding. It could be turned into interesting type of table linens. But also obviously vintage gowns. As you guys know, I adore vintage and a lot of our business is based on finding vintage items. So incorporating vintage, it gives you a way to give it a unique and totally different look and speak to you and your partner and not be cookie cutter. You know, it's not going to be what everybody else has because you're not renting from the same place and you're not doing the same thing. So you get to make it completely your own. Oh my God, this is so cute.
I love this. So this is Jason and his wife. And I absolutely adore this picture. Oh my God.
I look a little different now, don't I? So let's see. Full head of hair, no beard, no ink. I had a little bit of ink, but this was Labor Day weekend of 1994. And my wife and I met August of 1990. So we've been together for 31 years. And you can't tell in this picture, but I have a very deep purple tuxedo. When I tell people I wear a purple tux, they always picture Dumb and Dumber. I didn't say lavender. It was a very deep purple, but we had matching Converse All-Stars. And we had the wedding to end all weddings. It was the ultimate party. People to this day still say they have never been to a wedding more fun than ours. Think about every wedding you've been to. Usually, yeah, by the last 5 minutes of the reception, the DJ, right, there's like seven drunks just swaying on the floor.
It's totally
we had 100 people.
Usually, the journey
at the end of the wedding, and we continued it another hour. We paid for the DJ and the bartender to stay another hour. And the dance floor was still packed an hour later. This was midnight at this point. And we had a suite in the hotel. And we'd already filled the bathtub with beer and ice. And so we had a suite party. Yeah. And the reception went to about 3 a.m. that night.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Ann Wolf, by the way, had a little thing. She said that her second stage deal, she sold her wedding dress sometime after her 25th anniversary. So I think that's actually a smart point, is that you don't have to sell it right away. You can actually wait and hold on to the memories a little bit. And then when it's time to let it go, you let it go.
So this is my neighbor's wedding dress that she gave me to sell. And she's about 85 right now. So this is in her
house. So she got married last year, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And her husband married forever. And then the other two, that one, and then this one, and I got a full train. I have a gentleman who does house and business cleanouts that brings me the good stuff that doesn't go to the dump. And as I was sitting around my house last night, I'm like, I've got wedding dresses. I'll make a backdrop. And so I didn't even look at these. He gave me these like a month ago. I haven't looked at them yet. This one's brand new.
Oh my God, it looks amazing.
And so basically, I got it. So it's an Eden Bridal's Angelic Bride retail of $498. But of course, I'll be selling it online for less than that. And then the other one's kind of short.
Right.
A little less traditional, a little more sexy.
Right. Well, or it's a baby doll dress. And, you know, maybe it's for a bridesmaid or something. But, I mean, it seems a little short. I'm just saying for traditional.
Don't forget, I do live in Vegas. Keep that in mind.
Okay. Never mind. Rules are different.
You can be married in a bikini. Keep that in mind.
Well, because I love the fact that first thing out of the gate was wedding dresses. I mean, that is like kind of the number one thing that brides have to start looking for is a wedding dress. And a big portion of the budget sometimes can go to that wedding dress. And if you find one, especially now, boho chic is everything. Boho chic is the way to go and going green and reusing. So finding a place that allows you to reduce that budget and find something. What did you say that dress was? $495, and then you were selling it on your site for
$498. I haven't looked it up yet. So, but I'm
okay
for a couple $100.
I was about to say for $10. If you go to jasonthrifts.com, and $10 for that
first dress. $10 gift.
But I mean that's a big thing. So right out of the park, you're already not, having a single use item. You're sharing the love, so to speak. And God knows, you know, it would be even cooler if you knew the history of it. Maybe that it did belong to somebody that was 85 years old and they were married for 60 years. I mean, think about all the love and joy that's already wrapped up into that fabric, that whole life that was already there. And now you get to do a second round on it. I think that's incredible. I love the idea.
It just dawned on me that when my wife and I got engaged, it was either a traditional diamond engagement ring or a down payment on a house. And we were smart and said, we're going to get a house.
Right.
So I had a ring crafted for her that wasn't a diamond. It was our two birthstones intertwined. And then a little while later, a friend of mine who was engaged, it didn't go so well. So now she has this engagement ring that she kept. And I bought that off for her. And so I bought a used engagement ring, but I took the gold and the diamond and had it reset for my wife. Right. And so essentially, I bought a used engagement ring, gave it to her, and she loved it. And then since then, I've had most recently, I had a new one custom designed for her that blew her away. So, you know, you can give multiple engagement rings to the same wife.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to say no to diamonds. I'm just saying that to my husband. I'm not going to say no to diamonds. You don't have to be female in order to love a diamond. Just saying that anyway. So, but you know, I think that that's important. But you know, when we're talking about that, you had talked about Super Saver, and I love the fact that you brought up clean and organized, because obviously, when I hear thrifting, the very first thing that comes to my mind is like this really sad, dingy place with only two lights that at work, and that the floors smell really bad, and the people that are there, it's just sad. You know, this is like the end of the road. But that's not the case for a lot of these places, because they are usually a way for nonprofits to make money for themselves. And so there's there's a place here called Poverello, which is an incredible place. It's run by a lot of local volunteers that are incredible. And there's always something new coming in. It's not like a department store where you're kind of stuck with the season with whatever they got. Like, you're going to see the same purse over a year. If you go to this thrift store this month or next month or the following month, you're going to have all new merchandise.
And with that color coding, which most thrift stores do, they don't want stuff to sit there forever. So look, they put it out at a price they thought they would get. And 5 weeks later, they didn't get it. Now it's half off. And then Savers here in town, at least, the following week after half off, on that first day after half off, everything that color is a dollar. Come get it. And there's always a big line that day. Now, out-of-the-way thrift store. So if you could show that St. Jude's picture. Yeah, so if you ever been to Vegas, you know there's Lake Mead and the Boulder Dam. And so when you leave Vegas and head south, you end up in this sleepy little town called Boulder City. And the whole town is pretty much built on the mountain looking down over the lake. When you go halfway down that road to the lake, you'll see the St. Jude's on your left. And there it is. Now, I drove past this forever. There's no reason for me to stop there. It is a ranch for children. It is for orphan children. Right. But one day I said, this gift shop. So if you go to the next picture, they call it a gift shop, but it is a thrift store. And what they did, and this is where, listen up, brides in Las Vegas, they had a deal with all the hotels in Vegas. So anybody that, you know, there are tens of thousands of hotel rooms, and every day people check out and just leave stuff behind. Good stuff.
Crazy.
And so they have trucks that go to these hotels once a week or once a day and pick up all the wedding dresses.
Right.
So people got married. They're like, "Woo, we did it." And then they just take off their wedding dress and they go home back to Iowa. And so it ends up in this little tiny gift shop, which is a thrift store that if you don't know, if no one's ever told you, you would never know to stop there, because there's no real reason to stop there as a person looking for their wedding stuff, but they always have good stuff. As many iPhone plugs as you can shake a stick at, because everyone leaves them behind. Some marital aids, if you will, be left behind.
I have an interesting story. We had somebody that got a little kid that got hit in the head with one of those marital aids after somebody left it behind a pillow. You know, the true story from a hotel. Anyway, but Discounters, by the way, said for the wedding dresses that for $10, it'll make a great Halloween costume. I agree. Discounter. I agree. I've done that, actually. I think anybody.
I want to find out if you're a bride who's had their wedding, or you want to get rid of, you know, you want to donate, or if you want to sell, where would you say people should be looking at? Where would you suggest them going?
All right. So there are a ton of places besides what everyone knows. Right. I am sure every bride knows of eBay, and I'm sure every bride knows of Etsy. But I would imagine that most people never think of Amazon. Most people think, oh, Amazon sells products and they ship products. Most people don't know there are people like me who are what we call third-party sellers on Amazon. Yeah. And so there are a range of goods on Amazon that are used, and they're coming from me, not Amazon. And so there's all kinds of cool stuff to be found on Amazon. Mercari is another website that's kind of what I call eBay Junior. Right. It's rather new. It's only domestically. So whereas Amazon and Etsy and eBay are international,
right?
Mercari is only United States, but it's super duper easy to list on there. So if we're after the wedding now and you're like, all right, I can get rid of some of the stuff I just needed for that night, you know, Mercari is more simplistic to list on than most of the platforms.
Right.
And, it's easy to get it sold. And also it's a great place to find stuff because a lot of people think it's simplistic. So they just price their stuff so cheap. I buy things on Mercari almost daily and then sell them for like five times the amount on eBay.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So it's a great way to do it. Other websites, Depop. Now here's the deal,
right?
If you're selling, say we're already past your wedding and you were married like me many years ago, the kids who shop on Depop, the teenagers of today, they want all the stuff that we wore when we were teenagers.
I know. Crazy stuff. Like, you know, of course, nobody's going after Zeke Ivoriches. I'm just saying, anyways. But,
not so much.
I just saw some recently.
Oh, wait. Here at Francois Gerbeau, which I rocked a lot of. Those are hot. You can get lots of money for old Merite jeans.
That's crazy. That is just crazy. Well, when I want to go back to the Amazon because you talked about third-party sellers. So you're looking for something on Amazon. You see something that you really like for your wedding, and it says like multiple ways to buy, right?
Yeah. If it doesn't say Amazon, if it says, for instance, Tiki right. Pub Music, that means it's not coming from Amazon. It's coming from Jason, who is in Las Vegas. So right. For instance, all these CDs are listed on Amazon. I ship directly from here. They don't go to Amazon and then to you. I could do that, but I ship them myself. And so there are a ton of small mom and pops that sell on Amazon. So most people don't realize that. They think anything bought on Amazon is from Amazon. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So,
well, and are there specialty mom and pop shops like you were talking about that focus on the wedding industry that are because you've got wedding dresses behind you, but I don't feel like that's not your focus. Obviously, it's all things thrift. But are there like mom and pops that people could go to and go,
absolutely, yeah. If you've got a specialty, especially for a while now, those of us who sold on Amazon back in the day kind of got grandfathered in. They make it a lot harder to sell as a third-party seller nowadays, and rightfully so. There was a lot of shenanigans going on where people would say, like, yeah, I'm selling you this, and then they send you something different. So there was a problem, especially in, like, music and stuff. So they're a little more stringent nowadays. But if you were there already selling your wedding stuff, you're probably still there. Now, speaking of music, most people might not know. If you have that picture of all the different brands I had put together, Discogs, unless you're a music nerd, you probably have never heard of Discogs. But where I think it would come in handy, if you're that bride or groom that has that really rare song that you want for your wedding that isn't available on iTunes, isn't available at your local record store, Discogs is where all the music nerds like me people show off their collection, they sell their collection, they buy their collection, and for the most part, you're typically not going to be buying a like normal Britney Spears CD,
right?
But you've got some weird song that was only in a movie once in 1972 on one soundtrack. There's a good chance you're going to find it on Discogs. Nextdoor is another app that people don't even really know about. Nextdoor, it was set up. When you download the app, you plug in where you live, and it gives you your community, your surrounding area.
Right.
And initially it was, hey, I lost my dog. Anyone seen a beagle?
Yeah.
Or who's having a loud party? But then it turned into, hey, I got some stuff I don't want no more. There's a whole free section that's constantly full of things.
Right.
And then also you can buy and sell. So most people, if they even knew about the app, didn't know there was a whole buying and selling aspect to it. And then OfferUp and Facebook Marketplace are kind of along those same lines where typically it's local, But now Facebook has added shipping. So you can find somebody selling something that you need for your wedding on Facebook Marketplace that lives in Idaho and you live in New Jersey, and they'll ship it to you. So they've really upped the, we don't want to just sell to local. We want to sell to everybody.
What's OfferUp?
So OfferUp is another app that is, you know, Craigslist stayed behind the times. We all use Craigslist. And then as we got into apps and stuff, they're like, nah, we don't need to do apps. And right. So they kind of got left behind. So OfferUp is basically like Craigslist in an app almost. So it's just local stuff. You snap a few pictures. Hey, I've got this wedding dress. Right. I live on this side of town. If you want to come pick it up, or we can meet someplace local or in the middle to us. So, I mean, there's so many ways to buy and to sell. But when you get to the sell end, when you get to the, okay, we're done. I don't need this for sentimental reasons. Don't shortchange yourself. I find people doing that all the time. That's what I try and teach people. Sometimes you got to wait for the right customer. I sold a book last week.
Right.
I paid $5. It took 2 years, but it sold for $224. I just gotta wait for the right customer. Now, I don't expect everyone to hold their stuff that long.
That to say.
Well, I hope it turns the pages by itself.
Well, I mean, and again, you know, you talk about these especially mom and pops. You know, there's all sorts of comments coming in. By the way, I've never seen our comment section go this crazy with people. It's amazing. So let's see. Where's Jersey Jane? Thanks for the tips about St. Jude's. I love that. Thank you, Jersey Jane. And then what is it? Discounters has a lot to say, by the way. Discounters, good for you. So you know, I'm thrilled because it looks like there's like a whole sub world of like thrift people that this is their whole world. This is their journey. Would it pay to have an expert in your field to help shop for those things? Like could a bride reach out to Nicole Sellers and say, look, I don't know this world of thrifting, but I definitely want to, you know, resell. Does it make sense to have like an expert on your end? Like, do I hire an expert to go out and shop the world for me?
Oh, absolutely. There are plenty of experts out there. There was a time when I was doing that with music a little bit, because music's one of my big passions, my big nerdness is music.
Right.
And so people were hunting for things and I would hunt for them. But then that got to be too much. Like, okay, I'm not selling my own stuff. I'm just spending all this time hunting for stuff. And the payout isn't that great. So I stopped being a personal shopper, looker, arounder. Right. But yeah, plenty of people will do those kind of things for you. And the more people that I teach too, the more they become experts in their field and in other fields. You know, one thing I teach a lot of people is when you're going out thrifting and starting in this business,
right?
Go to the parts of the store you know, but then don't stop there, because there's good things in every part. So if you're looking for things for your wedding and you're only in the tchotchke section, you might not notice in the furniture section there's this great fake floral bouquet that would be perfect in the corner. And so you got to kind of cover the entire store. Right. I buy and sell dresses and purses and used bras. And so you can often find me in the used bra section of a thrift store getting a lot of strange looks, because they always had that look. Buy it for himself.
It kind of matches the van I see you in with no windows outside that, like, driving chapel. I mean, it works, right?
I will tell you, I made one mistake once of buying used bras. So, you know, usually I just walk up to the bra section. I know what I'm looking for. I know the brands I'm looking for.
Right.
And one time, and the way that Savers has them, they double stack the bras. So rack.
Okay.
So many women were in front
of the bras. I'm literally blushing as we talk about this, but go ahead.
Nobody women were in front of the bras, and I'm so tall, I just walked to the other side and reached through. And when I squatted to go to the lower rack, I grabbed a bra that at the same time a woman on the right side of the rack was grabbing. And so we're peering at each other through the racks. And I'm like, I'm like, is this creepy? And she's like, very. And she ripped the bra out of my hand. It up, and I'm like, okay, note to self, only shop on the right side of the bras from now on.
Well, I find it fascinating that you're talking about bras and racks in the same sentence. So I was like, this seems very weird that we're well, okay.
So I feel like I have the day off. Thank you.
I know, right? Like, all over this. Nicole, Marcy, questions?
No, I was going to say, I came upon Jason because as you know, I like to go to estate sales and I love estate sales, and we use a lot of vintage. And when we were at these estate sales, I would see like amazing things, but you know, it wasn't really right for events. But I thought, gosh, you know, somebody would like to have this somewhere. And you've been to my warehouse, Keith, so you know what it's like. But it looks like a thrift store, but high-end thrift store or estate sale, maybe. And then I was online and I found Jason's eBay group on online, the thrifting board. And so I joined the thrifting board, and it's a wealth of information. Like, people share like things that they bought, they found that sell really hot. They share all of their information. So I would highly recommend that if you're interested in this world, that you go on Facebook and join his group, because it educated me so much. Like, I was occasionally sold stuff like around my house on eBay every once in a while here or there. But then I started actually buying to resell. And thank God, because during COVID, when there were no events, you know, it literally, I get like an eBay sale and it'd be like, oh, that just paid the electric bill, or oh, that just paid the phone bill. So, I mean, it's been rough for all of us in the event industry. And I have to say that eBay's been, was a lifesaver. And Jason's group is a wealth of knowledge of great people who really share and teach you. So.
And of course I was making fun with discounters. I was just poking fun, by the way, if you're out there, because I love the fact that you're in here. But I do love the fact that you talked about that sharing of information and being on this group, because, you know, Ann Wolf just put in a comment about South Jersey, about doing a wedding day in February, March. And, you know, that's the kind of information you might not know or hear about unless you're part of one of these groups. So, you know, don't be afraid. If you're a bride, don't be afraid to get involved in one of these groups, because, you know, ask the question. You know, where can I find it? Where can I find a beautiful vintage dress? And these guys are going to answer you, because they're all about sharing information. I mean, everything I've been seeing in these comment sections over here are all about supporting each other, about education. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm already kind of like, wow, what a cool world that these guys live in, that they're all about, you know, how can I help you? I mean, I know that the other day, Nicole and I were at Events on the Loose, which is a local decor company. And they had this picture outside that they were going to sell. And Nicole posted the picture to your group, Jason. And within like, what, a minute? Somebody says, that's a $5,000 picture. Do not sell that for $10.
Yeah, $10 on the picture. $10. Yeah. And we were like, oh, let's get this off. She had no idea.
She had no idea. So, you know, that here she is trying to sell off some stuff in order to pay the truck rentals and all those things. And she has a picture sitting out in the parking lot for, you know, $5,000. Well, probably $2,500 is what we really found out, Nicole, right? But it was for $10. And so if it weren't for your group, and I mean, that's just an offshoot. That is just a totally random moment that happened. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, like, if somebody's really focused on finding decor for their wedding. I mean, you know, so that's another question then, Jason. Like, how do people find these groups to be a part of? Where do they turn? So what are some of the basics? Obviously, you and your Facebook group, because it's incredible. And I've been posting it on, you know, underneath you on the scroll. But are there others as well?
Yeah, there's a lot of thrifting groups. I got to imagine there's a lot of wedding groups, of course. I haven't needed a wedding group in quite a while, so not something that's in my normal day to day. But when you get into groups, you got to make sure before you jump in full feet, kind of watch what's happening around the group. We don't allow bashing of customers or the business partners we have. And the business partners are eBay and the United States Postal Service. Yes, there's problems, but negativity just has no place in the group and does not breed anything positive. And so, you got a problem. Bring the facts. Let's leave the emotion out and we'll deal with it. You go into some groups and they're just like, everyone sucks and this person's a jerk and customers are all awful. And I'm like, don't go in those groups. Get out of the groups, because that just festers and that does nothing for ourselves, our fellow men or fellow women. You know, it's horrible. So find when you, and any groups, look at how the tone of the first like six or seven posts are and see if you want to stay there.
Right.
Also look for groups that are just open to sharing. People are so mad. I've never gotten so much hate in my life since when I had my show.
Really?
I'm standing in the biggest Savers, one of the biggest thrift stores in the entire country is here in Vegas. It's right. so big, they can't even fill the whole space. They use a lot of it for storage. Right. And so I'm talking to some friends, and this little, I'm 6'5", about 280. This little yeah. woman, about 5 foot, walks up to me, and she goes, I hate you. I hate your show. You have ruined it for all of us. And she stomped away, and I was so caught off guard. I was like, so I walk over to her, and while I'm talking to her, there are just racks of fresh clothes coming out the back. A parade. I go, look at all the stuff in this one store. Right. I can't buy it all. I can't facilitate every customer that needs something. So if my little show didn't help you, but ruined your job, you sucked at it. And then I just walked away.
You know what?
So basically you looked down at her and said, shoo fly.
But, you know, and that's actually, we've gotten those kind of comments about this show as well, because we talk about, you know, we're business to business, but we're also business to consumer. So we're doing everything we can in order to help the brides out there. I mean, the whole reason we even started the show was because there were so many people out there that didn't have a wedding professional that was attached to their wedding, and they had no place to turn to. They didn't know how to get out of the contracts. They didn't know how to move their date. They didn't know how to, you know, so that was the whole reason we started this. And honestly, if somebody's pissed about this kind of stuff, screw off. You know, it's obvious that you're not doing enough to help your clients and that they're having to look elsewhere. But since you have such an amazing group that's been a part of the show, I'm actually going to put it out to your group that if they know of a wedding specific thrifting group, put it in the comment section and we'll pull it up on After the Veil. Cause you know, in about 10 minutes, we'll be going to After the Veil. So put it in there. I'll find it. I'll pull it up. So thank you to all of them. When it comes to decor, because we've talked a lot about clothing, right? We talked a lot about clothing and you talked about the diamond, the diamond that you gave your wife. I mean, is there such thing as thrifting for diamonds? I mean, is that a thing? Because I feel like diamonds are kind of a jewelry that there's no such thing as old jewelry.
You know, I've never actually technically thrifted a diamond, but you know, just right place, right time. Friends said, hey, me and the fiance didn't work out. And she knew I was in the hunt for a diamond ring because we'd already bought the house, got married. Stacy had the ring. I had her made with our birthstones, and slyly I'd been putting away like 10 bucks a week. You know, this is way back. When we first got married. We weren't making a ton of money, and I had enough to get her the actual ring. And so, yeah, you know, I really didn't think of it in that terms, but until today, but yeah, I thrifted my wife's diamond engagement ring. I'm like, sweet. I guess you can thrift anything.
You really can, I guess. Yeah. I mean, and
of course, it's also put your feelers out about anything, because look, I'm on YouTube all the time. I should do more on my Instagram. I'm on Facebook all day long. And so putting out content in myself, people know. So these two wedding dresses, the two on the ends, I got a guy who is in town doing house cleanouts, and he saw my show on some illegal cable thing the other day, a couple months ago. And he said, hey, he introduced himself. He goes, look, I'm doing house cleanouts and I'm taking the stuff to the dump, but I'm realizing there's good stuff that I should not be taking to the dump. You want to do some business? And I said, sure. So here, I have a brand new $500 wedding dress that we didn't pay anything for.
Wow.
So his time is involved cleaning out. My time is involved selling it. And then we have our cut. And so you never know when you've said something on a YouTube show or put a post on Facebook or Instagram that someone's going to see it and go, hey, let me tell you about this. I wasn't looking for some guy to bring me stuff all the time. But yesterday he dropped off a brand new Ninja blender, Abyssal carpet cleaner, an entire daycare just left. So I've got all this great stuff coming in on the constant.
Yeah,
I wasn't looking for it. I got my own stuff, but he's bringing me such good stuff. I'm like, I'm not turning down $500 brand new wedding dresses. Hell yeah.
There's no way. And you know, and that's one of the things is being in the, you know, a lot of my stuff that I'm doing with the decor that is in my storage shed right now was given to me by other wedding planners that either moved or got out of the business. I mean, I have these white columns that we were going to use for one of her events, and that came from another wedding planner. And so I love the idea of, you know, it's this whole other group that is there to share and support each other. I love that. I love
the ones that are holding up my vanity in my beauty room by any chance.
Yes, those are the same ones.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm thinking
that there also may be maybe some estate sales that you run across periodically.
Yeah, and I was going to say, here's a tip on estate sales. Of course, day one, minute one. You got to be in line nice and early if you want the pick, the cream of the crop. But you're also going to pay the first minute prices. But second day, third day, last day, whenever that sale, they have a 2 or 3 day sale, half price, sometimes 3/4 off. And so that, again, if you're on a budget, check out the estate sales last hour, because also last hour of the last day, they'll cut deals. They will cut crazy deals. We were my wife and I were in an estate sale about 5 or 6 months ago, and it was the last hour. And right. There were 3 vintage peignoir sets just hanging up, and no one even noticed. And I go, come on, how much if I buy all 3? He's like, $12. I'm like, sweet. I sold the first one for $90. I'm like, okay, yeah, please. So I like being there right away, but I also like waltzing in at the last hour going, okay, what kind of deals can we make today? So right. There's always deals. Oh, and here's the other thing. Don't be afraid to haggle and ask, even at retail. I have never seen my father pay complete retail at a retail store on a big purchase ever in his life. I'm like, really? You can haggle at Best Buy? I've seen him every TV he's ever bought at Best Buy back in the day when that's kind of where one place you got your TVs. He would haggle them all down at retail. I'm just like, that's impressive.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You say you can haggle at Best Buy.
I'm like, what?
I'm really, really surprised by that.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask, because the worst they can do is say, nope. But the best they can say is, sure. But you don't ask. And that's another thing about selling. I always get more money for my items than others who sold the exact same item because I asked for more. If you don't ask for more, you can't ever get any more.
Right. Well, I'm going to put this to Nicole. So, you know, as far as decor, wedding decor, you know, you're our expert on our panel. You've been part of Behind the Veil since we started it. You know, where are you finding your favorite finds? Where are those inspirational pieces coming from?
Honestly, when I first started my business, I was frequently the estate sales. That's where I went because I love vintage and I love repurposing and I like to bring the old. I don't like cookie cutter. And so I would go to the estate sales and find, like, if you're looking for a vintage settee, or if you're looking for beautiful mirrors, or if you're just looking for something different, the estate sales are the best place to go. Like Jason said, you can get discounts and you can do things like that. But I find great things, you know, at thrift stores as well. But I probably frequent the estate sales a little bit more. I did find, like, remember the Make-A-Wish thing we did over Christmas time? I found the Santa chair that we had. It was actually an old bed frame. I was driving down the street and passing the thrift store, and it was outside. And I looked at that bed frame and I said, Santa chair, like, instantly. And so I went and picked it up and made Michael turn it into a Santa chair for me. But it was perfect for it. So use your imagination. If you have a little bit of know-how and some handiwork, you can turn, you know, something that you think might be somebody else's, you know, thrift store donation into like a key piece of your ceremony or your reception. Creating your own unique photo op. Like if you want to have a photo op, you know, we've done that a lot of times. Like when we've created that Oriental train photo op, remember that one that we used at BizBag and everything else? All of the pieces were from estate sales or vintage. So,
well, and that was the thing, is that, you know, people typically think of a you know, a photo wall as a hedge wall with some letters in it, and that doesn't have to be the case. You can have some fun with it. I mean, you can use some, you know, some old crates and stuff, and just pile it up on behind it. I mean, I've seen, you know, they do that actually in the Keys. They actually use old crab traps and turn it into pieces of art, which I just think is amazing because there's a second use for it. Right. Just when when we're talking about repurpose, reuse, I mean, the word is repurpose. You know, you can repurpose an item for almost anything that you want. And I love the fact that, and I go back to the original comment Nicole said, is that she sees wedding dresses as fabric. And I love that possibility, because if you go vintage shopping and look at dresses as far as fabric, you mean, think about all the amazing tablecloths you could start thinking about. And, you know, mix and match is the thing right now. Different style chairs, different style, even silverware. It's that whole, you know, that is the new trend. That's the boho chic.
Yep. I used, I bought a bunch of different like petticoats and crinolines and things, and turned actually into a slip cover for a chair for a bride. And it's so beautiful because all of these beautiful pieces of wedding dresses. And then she sat in the chair for her bridal shower. And it was just a completely unique, different thing that nobody had done before. So it's just use your creativity and you get some great deals and, you know, and then sell it to another bride who maybe wants to use it.
Exactly. Exactly. Or if you don't want to sell it to another bride yourself, go to somebody like Jason Thrifts or Nicole Sellers and they'll do it for you. Right. Yep. So Jason, God, it was such a great show. I have to tell you, I had so much fun. We learned so much. And I just, it's a whole different world that we could literally do multiple programs on. And right. And by the way, your followers and the people that are involved in this are just amazing. I just love your followers in the comments that they're just such lovely people and they love you. Oh my God, do they love you? Holy moly, I've never seen such adoration. And so thank you so, so much. So, that's going to be the end of our show. We're stay tuned for After the Veil. I think Jason's going to stay on with us for After the Veil. So, yeah, but a quick word from our sponsor, Mike Sipe.
More than just entertainment, we understand the importance of the entire wedding day celebration. From the moment you select the date until the day of the celebration, we are there to provide you and your family with the peace of mind you deserve. Mike Sipe Entertainment of Vincent Productions has been providing entertainment and production nationwide for over 30 years. Our company motto is Your Day, Your Way. And our mission is to provide our clients with the most unforgettable entertainment experience while promoting an atmosphere of trust and togetherness. Learn more at themikesipe.com.
Well, guys, welcome to After the Veil. So this is our new format. We're just like, this is where you guys get to talk about anything that you want. Usually we talk about the guest. So, so, you know, this is one of those things that we added to the show because some of the best stuff that we used to talk about happened after the show. And so this is kind of our open format. And I'm just going to say, Jason, you were an awesome, awesome guest.
Oh, thank you.
You really should have your own show.
Thursday night at 8 p.m. on YouTube and Sunday nights at 7 p.m. on YouTube.
Oh, that's actually really important. I'm glad that you said that. Say that one more time so people get it.
So I have two YouTube shows. Thursday nights is called Thrifty Business. It's on YouTube at 8 o'clock East Coast. I kind of fashioned my show after like a late night talk show. We start the show with a little bit of banter, and then we have segments. And then the last half hour is a guest we interview based on their specialty. This week, I have a gentleman who reached out to us and says, hey, you never have anyone on with disabilities. I have cerebral palsy and learning disabilities, and I got a full-time job, and I sell on eBay, and I want to talk about it. I'm like, hell yeah, let's do this.
That's the best.
So that's Thursday nights. And then on Sundays at 7 p.m., I host a show with my mother, who is 78 years old, and her and my dad sell on eBay, and they kill it. So if you think you can do this, let me put it to you this way. My mother's mode of transportation when she was a teenager to go visit friends and go into town was a horse. We grew up in the country, all right?
Is there ageism happening here? There better not be any ageism.
We didn't grow up in the 1800s either. So my folks kill it on eBay. And so my mom and I host a show on Sunday nights aimed at the new seller or the senior seller. And we talk about one subject and we just go a little bit slower and talk about how to do an inventory and how to go find stuff and how to sell stuff better.
Right.
So you can always find me. And it's just my name, Jason T. Smith. Easy to find me.
Oh, I thought it was Jason Thrifts. What? I'm kidding.
It was Jason. My buddy said, you should be like Cher, just like Jason Thrifts. Just like, you don't have to go full name. I ran my YouTube channel forever.
Just Jason. Oh, God, yeah. That would be funny. I'm leaving it up to y'all. What do you guys want to talk about? So, you know, Marcy, what did you think?
I love it. I love this idea. I kind of dabbled in it a little bit over the last summer because we were in the process of selling our house.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to get rid of furniture and a lot of other household items. So I kind of went on OfferUp and a couple of other sites and just kind of got my feet wet a little bit.
Right.
But it was like super hard during the COVID time. Do you find any issues going? I mean, you're on Amazon, so I'm sure that's a much better route.
No, but you know, I was listening to last night. I was listening to Shark Tank, and they were talking about the people that are so excited that they get a Walmart contract. That they're like, "Oh, the Walmart contract is amazing," but they're like, "There's so much bullshit that happens when it comes into those contracts." I wonder if, is that kind of the same thing? Like, you got involved with Amazon, and there's just a lot that involved with dealing with Amazon?
Well, when you're doing Merchant Fulfilled, it's not too bad. But I have plenty of friends that have went on. Even one of my assistants, she was had a corporate gig here in Vegas. This was years ago.
Right.
Downsizing 8%. Her workforce got cut. And unfortunately, she was in that 8%. She came to me. She goes, I need a job. I want to learn how to sell online. I'm not going to stay with you a long time. And I was filming at the time. I go, yeah, if you can keep my office running while we're filming,
right,
that'd be great. She has went on to create her own products, doing 7 figures on Amazon. And I'm so proud of her and so excited for her. But with that comes the headaches.
Right.
She made a product and then it had it made in China. And then someone from that company that made it showed it at a party and someone knocked it off before she even got it out. And so I'm like, you know what? And I don't got to deal with all those headaches because people who like to give me grief, they're like, well, you're not the biggest seller online. I'm like, I never claim to be. I'm right where I want to be.
Right.
I sell what I want to sell. I make what I need to make. I have an enjoyable life. I could follow my friends down the path of doing 7-figure sales on Amazon, but it comes with these headaches. I don't want it at this advanced age. I don't.
Well, and what do you say, Brooke, all the time? Greedy pigs.
Don't be greedy. Pigs get slaughtered.
Yep. She says it all the time. She's like, greedy pigs get slaughtered. And I think that's true.
My grandma told me that.
Oh, yeah? Was she a thrifter?
Yes.
Yeah, she's like, no, shut up.
No, she really was. And so was my mom.
Oh, really? Your mom is too? I didn't know that.
Ciao. Yes.
Oh. Well, because I mean,
you see it.
I know. I'm right totally there. Looking you in your background. I was totally looking in your background, and I was you like, "Oh, it's so cute! Like you've got such cute."
I don't know if that was thrifted or not, but it's all mine.
Well, but I mean, we all get into that. I know all of us here are looking at Jason and going, "I could do that. I could do that." And I'm like, and as a wedding planner, listening to somebody that says, "I did my sister's wedding," you know, that's bullshit. You know, you know, it's like. You got to be good at what you do. You just have to be. But I mean, everybody thinks about it. Like, I can't do what Nicole does. Like, there's no way. Like, it would drive me crazy.
Nicole's got a special eye. When she was a guest on my show, seeing her backdrops and what she puts together. And like she said, I saw this and I turned it into this. That's an eye I don't even have. I have an eye for, I can see money in things that others don't.
Right.
I've got an eye for, I can see the old crap. And oh my God, it's like the most amazing background for your wedding ever.
And you're like, it looks like crap. And you're like, just wait. And then,
you've got to have the Nicole flourish, and then it'll look good.
It is so true. I mean, what was it? It was a Santa chair. Oh my God. When she got that Santa chair, and it was a bed frame? Was it a bed frame or something at first? I went, what are you talking about? And she was like, wait.
Trash. That woman can take trash and turn it into
trash. Yeah, literally driving down the road going, Santa chair.
Oh,
my husband thought I was crazy. He turned it into a Santa chair and it came out.
No.
But
my
I have to say with the thrifting and selling online.
You go ahead. No, you first.
There is a learning curve, you know? So yeah. There are definitely lots of tricks, like shipping, you can lose your ass, if you're not careful. And so there, you know, take your time and delve in with, like, Jason, work with stuff around your house first. Don't like go out and try to source stuff. Like if you've got to, you know, just get your feet wet with something. Tonight you sold some stuff too, right? You said, and that shipping was a little bit of an issue, right? You did during COVID, you sold some stuff from around the house, Keith?
Yeah. And shipping, my God, you know, you got to be careful of that shipping. I mean, I actually started weighing stuff because I didn't weigh it before. And I was like, oh, everything's based on weight and size. Like how mean, that's how my life is. It's based on your weight and your size. Screw y'all. You know, I'm 6'3". I'm not going to.
Well, you know, Nicole says she sees the dresses, not as dresses, but as fabric.
Yeah.
I look at things and I don't see things. I see bricks of weight. So I can look at anything and know the shipping because I've been doing this for so long.
I see a 4 ounce
brick of weight. I don't see a pair of jeans. I see a 1 pound brick of weight. I just go, I know what my shipping is. And that is tough to teach. And the Postal Service does us no favors. There's so many angles and options that I try and teach everybody the best I can because I've conquered them all.
Right.
And now I just got to make sure that because if you don't go anywhere where you get help, I think I got to do it this way. Wait a minute. I charge $4 for shipping and shipping's $37. What the hell did I do wrong?
Your friends must love you because all you do is look at them as bricks of weight.
You're about a 180, aren't you?
Exactly. That's got to be the worst.
I was at a flea market once And I was looking at his shirt, and the lady goes, "So what are you, 3X or 4X? I go, "Well, I'm 2X, and I think you just called me fat." And she said, "No, you're husky." And I go, "Boy, I haven't heard that since I was a fat 10-year-old.
I know. That was the worst one. You're like, screw off. You're like husky. Screw off. Or big bone. I'm like, there's no such thing as big bone, you bastards. There's no such thing as big bones. Shame on you. Make a teenager feel bad already,
that's
man.
That's true. Okay.
That is true. There's no such thing as big bone. I'm just saying that, you know, medically, there's no such thing. Anyway,
I wasn't talking about that. Okay.
See, you went all nasty on me.
No, you just went nasty on me.
Keith, I got a question about your show. Is it always at this time when you record it?
Yeah, every Tuesday at 2. Tuesday at 2.
Brooke, you just start drinking at 2, huh?
Yeah, no.
No,
I watched one show where she had
him. I think like 12.
12:30 on the dot.
All right. Yes. I love you. Let's get together. Drink.
Right?
I see, we both wore blue. You got great, you know, great. Amazing. Match my top.
And my favorite is that I had to tell her, I'm like, you can't open the White Claw cans during the show.
I know, listen, it's because they're not sponsoring me. So once they get back. With a, you know, half sailor, a
print bag
on
them. I know. If you listen to my shows, every once in a while you hear this.
I started opening all 4 cans before we tried to play.
So I want to party with you.
Oh my God, she's crazy.
Have a good time.
She is a good time. But you know, I was going to say earlier that Nicole, one of my favorite times with you is when we were driving I had my SUV and you said, "Oh, let's go by this place really quick." And I'm like, "Okay." We're driving down the road. There's these like huge letters. Oh no, they were Mr. and Mrs. Right? Was that what it is? It was those big red letters. Oh my God, they were waterlogged and they must have weighed 100 pounds each. We're picking them up off the side of the street.
Nicole's like, "Can't stop, won't stop, let's go."
And she's like, "It's going to be amazing, I promise. It's going to be amazing." I'm like, "Okay, there's things are full of bugs and all sorts of crap." And she's like, "It's going to be amazing." I'm like, "Oh, all right, great." But you know,
trapped.
They did. I know. I felt bad about that. I was like, I have to mess in my car.
I will say this, though. While I was listening to Jason, I was like, that whole, it wasn't really, it was a joke, but I was kind of serious. Like the whole van thing outside.
Yeah.
Little like drive through chapel. Oh, such a missed opportunity for money. Honey, rent those gowns, honey. Run them out.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I love the fact
I'll come on the weekends. I'll fly out and I'll just do it.
Well, and Well, and I think about the hotels and about all those. I mean, first of all, get the dresses cleaned. I'm assuming
you
get the
dresses cleaned because,
you know, if they're finding marriage enhancements in there, I would want to wash the dress. I'm just saying.
I worked for an antique shop I had a booth in an antique mall for a while. And one of the people that ran it, they were one of the other contracts that did the pickups every single day. And she handed me tubs full of marital aids. She goes, "You would not believe how many marital aids used and unused." Like, yeah, I will focus on the unused. You can keep the unused.
Well, you just stick them in the dishwasher. I mean, come on. We all know that.
Honey, what's this with our dishes, honey?
Exactly. You put them in the dishwasher. It's a great way to wash them and sanitize them. I'm just saying, for out there in your marriage, like everybody's listening to Behind the Veil right now, and they're like, "What the f- are they been talking about?"
It's Vegas, baby.
Well, you know, hey, repurpose, reuse, being green doesn't just end at the wedding.
Okay, did we even like do the whole green thing yet?
That was the green thing, you know, reuse, repurpose. I mean, you know, and who knows? Nicole probably could use them as like stands for, you know, some type of display.
So the whole fossil fuel thing I did for 2 hours yesterday was like, and this is the question.
Well, I mean, if you look at it in segments, depending on the aid. Anyway, going way off track.
Thank you all for giving me the day.
Do you have a storefront?
Oh yeah, Jason, do you have a storefront?
I do not right now. I had the booth in the antique mall, and that was fine. But I am so busy selling. I have a staff. I've got a full time adult out there right now, and I got two part time teenagers, and then I teach, and I host shows and I just
watch out for them kids, honey.
I don't have any of my own, and so now my neighbors who I'm good friends with, their girls work for me, and I'm like, "Oh, Is this almost like having a teenager around? Sometimes it's really good. Like, hey, I need you to go run and pick this up from the supply store. And yeah. Sometimes it's like, you're supposed to be at work yesterday. I still haven't heard from you. It's noon the next day.
Oh my God. And you know what they say, accidents make children.
Well, they got that A, that first
yeah. marital. But yeah, the no storefront, it's too much work for what I don't have the time. I'm just too right. busy. I've got a whole webinar to teach Friday night to my one group. I haven't started it yet. It's Tuesday afternoon. I should probably start that at some point.
Well, you're lucky. I mean, I started writing the intro to the show like 2 minutes before, and then I finally went, no.
I do my best work in the last 3 seconds. I'm like
oh. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, guys, that's our hour. Thank you so much for being part of Behind the Veil and After the Veil. Jason, you were a doll, man. I would love to have you back on just to.
Yes, like, let's do round two. Jason.
Right? Like just to do, you know, round two. I think this would be an awesome, awesome show. And maybe we just do a whole episode of After the Veil and just be done with it.
That's a lot of work.
I will bring a cocktail next time. I had no clue until just an hour ago. I watched Brooke drink and I'm like, oh, I should have had a cocktail.
How did you even? This is what I presented.
It doesn't look like a cocktail. I like
that. I didn't even have time to fire up the good, you know, gay ice cubes that would light up.
Oh, that's right. She has. She puts ice cubes, these plastic things, in the freezer.
They're warm as shit now.
So thank you for having me, and I would love to come back anytime you want me.
Oh, my God, you are a doll. And Nicole Sellers with CLE Events, Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember, the always gorgeous Brooke Logan Stoner. We are out. Thank you, everybody. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.